Morning, please take a seat. Good morning and welcome to today's meeting of the Board of Public Works. Before we begin, I would like to give the treasurer a chance to say a few words, Mr. Treasurer.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I don't really need these notes. Got to wing it. Paula Holland, when I first came to Annapolis, Senator Hollinger was already a force, and you know how long ago that's been. Paula was about 4'11", something like that. But oh, did she, you know that saying about punching above your weight? That was Paula. She made a tremendous difference, a very consequential, whatever. In the areas of healthcare, she was a nurse, I believe, by trade. And the healthcare policies over the years, Paula's fingerprints were all over them. Very sharp, feisty. You'll hear that a lot. But she was just a tremendous legislator, full of personality. The General Assembly and the Senate and the state of Maryland is better for her service. I guess one of the memories I had of her when I, in my earlier years, I used to stay at the Lowe's Hotel. And so my wife and my son, he was about 3 at the time, you know, we would all go down for breakfast and, you know, Paula would come over when she'd see him. And my son loved Paula. I'm convinced it's because he thought they were like peers or something. he would play with her and go back and forth. And then some of the other legislators, I'm not going to name any name, they would come over and he would just sort of, recoil or whatever, like, I don't know you. And he just had a way with him. And he doesn't remember it, obviously, because he was young, but we would tell him, I started telling him stories once he would pass, and he was like, I did that and all of that. But Paula, for those of you who knew her, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And for those of you who don't, you miss something. And, you know, I guess I'm starting to say that more and more now, but I enjoyed those early years. I guess you can see that in the characters, and they were more characters than I think it is now. And I'm not saying it's good or bad, but for those of you who didn't get to know Paula, trust me when I tell you, she was an amazing lady, amazing legislator, and the state's better for it. Thank you, Governor.
May she rest in eternal peace. And may her family rest in peace. Madam Comptroller.
Thank you. My comments are not as meaningful in some ways, but I did want to comment and just remind folks this is our last meeting before April 15th, which is everybody's favorite day because it's, you know, Senate President's birthday and also tax day. And my father-in-law's birthday. It's a big day. So tax day is, of course, the busiest time of the year for the Office of the Comptroller. We have 1,300 dedicated team members working around the clock to support Maryland taxpayers and ensure that filing season runs smoothly. So far this filing season, we've received over 285,000 calls. Our branch offices have welcomed over 28,000 walk-ins. And our fraud detection team has identified over 5,000 suspicious returns and stopped over $15 million from going to the wrong people because of fraud and scams. So I want to thank the governor and the General Assembly for their support in this year's budget, which includes additional personnel to strengthen this work and help us to serve taxpayers more effectively and more efficiently. To me, this time of year is also a reminder that our communities thrive because each of us plays a part in sustaining them. When Marylanders file their returns, they contribute to the collective effort that supports our infrastructure, our classrooms, and the public services that help hold our communities together. I think it also underscores just how interconnected we are and how each person's contribution helps build a more resilient and more prosperous Maryland. So I want to extend my gratitude to all Marylanders who are filing timely, and please file online if you can, and to the comptroller team for their professionalism and the compassion they bring to this season every year. And with that, I will turn it back to you, Governor, for today's agenda.
Perfect. Thanks so much. We will start with the business of the day. Mr. Secretary, good morning.
Morning, Governor, and good morning to you, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. Excuse me. There are 16 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning and 2 reports of emergency procurement contract awards. I'm happy to assist in answering any questions.
Wonderful. Thank you. I would actually like to highlight item 7, which is a request from the Department of Information Technology to approve a modified resource sharing agreement with the Maryland Broadband Cooperative Incorporated. This modified agreement is going to add approximately 26 miles of fiber optic cable along rural and underserved areas of Allegheny and Garrett counties. And this is both going to increase interconnectivity, but it's also going to make sure that it's going to provide around $3.5 million to total in-kind value that will then come back to the state of Maryland. We have been, since day one, committed in this administration to expanding high-speed access all to all Marylanders. And, you know, it's because you cannot talk about serving people if one of the main ways that people can be served is not available to all Marylanders. This is a place where, for many Marylanders, they are receiving educational benefits. This is a place for many Marylanders where they're applying for jobs. This place for many Marylanders, they're receiving their health care. And so making sure that this can touch every part of our state was a clear priority. And since 2023, we have connected more than 43,000 homes, representing more than 110,000 Marylanders to high-speed internet. And that goes everywhere from Western Maryland all the way to the Eastern Shore and everywhere in between. And just last year, completed nearly $2 million, a $2 million infrastructure project to bring high-speed internet to the residents of Smith Island, probably one of the more left-behind areas throughout the entire state. This past February, we announced that we secured $79 million in federal funding for the Department of Housing and Community Development's initiative to expand affordable and equitable internet access. Secretary Day, thank you for your leadership on this as well. And as of right now, 99.5% of Maryland households and businesses are currently connected or have been awarded funding for accessible and reliable internet. 99.5% of the state. And so we have been very clear, while we inherited a state that was not fully connected, we will pass one on that is, that every Marylander will have access to high-speed internet access. This is the leave no one behind governing philosophy, because it does include internet connectivity. And so with that, is there any other discussion on this Secretary's agenda?
No, I think there's just one additional item on the Secretary's agenda. I'm not sure if it made it in your binder, but I want to thank Secretary Chaudhry for his help with this. And thank you, John, for your help. The Treasurer and I just have one hand carry item that is to speed up the work that's happening to renovate the Treasury building. So if you want to take a look at it.
A hand carry.
April Fool's.
No way. Oh, they got me on this one. I had nothing to do. I'm like a hand carry. Wait, I didn't know about this. I'm looking over Secretary Charge. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Well played. Well played. Woo! Boy.
I thought she was serious. I'm okay.
I do something.
May I have a motion to approve the non-April Fool's Day Secretary's agenda?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second? Thank you very much. Before we proceed with the DNR agenda, and this is not an April Fool's Day thing, I would like to offer some very quick comments on the 143rd celebration of Arbor Day here in Maryland, which I officially proclaim today. Arbor Day is a celebration where we encourage people from different walks of life to come together with a shared purpose in appreciation of trees and the benefits that they bring to our community. And today we receive the seedlings and potted plants from DNR's Maryland Forest Service. This spring, the Maryland Forest Service is planting 235,000 trees on 460 acres to help build a cleaner and a healthier future for all of us. The trees that are being built, trees are being planted. These are things that just have absolutely not just durable, but generational impact on the air that we breathe, the communities that we live in, making sure you're addressing everything from heat islands. These are the gifts that truly keep on giving, and they'll be a part of our landscape that are going to help our state become more resilient to the worsening effects that we are seeing from climate change as well. And so our state is proud to partner with the natural resources industries and our small businesses to contribute to the production for Maryland's business environment. And so we want to acknowledge the efforts and the commitment of the Maryland Forest Service in supporting a very healthy forestry sector that supports rural livelihoods and expands forested land use while also creating environmental benefits that can then benefit all Marylanders. And with that, I would like to invite Chief of Staff Camille Williams to the dais to join the comptroller, the treasurer, and myself to commemorate the official proclamation of Arbor Day. It's great to see you.
Mine's your time.
Thank you. Before we proceed with the DNR agenda, maybe I can ask Secretary Day to actually come up and adjust the dice as well. Ms. Secretary, it's great seeing you.
Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer, good morning and thank you. I've obviously been working on my April Fool's joke a little longer, but I promise I'll be rid of it soon. For the record, my name is Jake Day. I'm Secretary of Housing and Community Development, and we come before you this morning to ask for BPW's approval for just over $10.6 million in rental housing works funding. As the board well knows, Maryland is facing a housing crisis, and it is state's obligation to create the housing that the market otherwise won't for the most vulnerable Marylanders. And so I want to just highlight three projects that are before you this morning that will create more than 300 affordable housing units, all financed by federal low-income housing tax credits and funded through Rental Housing Works, the state's rental housing program. First, the Village at Mitchell Pond in my hometown, Salisbury, is scheduled to receive $3.4 million in Rental Housing Works to finance the renovation of a community center and 68 units in garden-style buildings along with a community center. Second, Lockgrave and Overlook. This is a project seeking $3.5 million in Rental Housing Works funding. This will be a newly constructed 72-unit community in Towson and will help support Baltimore County's efforts to lift the voluntary conciliation agreement with HUD. And by the way, that will focus on 30 to 80% AMI households. And lastly, we're seeking approval of $3.7 million for Penn Place in District Heights in Prince George's County. This will be a brand new four-story, 168-unit development for working families between 50 and 60% area median income. Again, that represents 300 new and renovated and preserved affordable housing units in the state. So the department respectfully requests the board's approval of Rental Housing Works financing for these three projects.
Thank you so much.
Happy to take any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great stuff, Mr. Secretary. Thank you so much.
Is that in the DGS agenda?
I guess there was no question, so no need to do any amendments on the Secretary. We will proceed with the DNR agenda. Ms. Williams, welcome back.
Thank you.
Again, good morning.
Morning.
And happy Arbor Day.
Happy Arbor Day, everyone. Good morning, Governor Westmore, Treasurer Davis, and Madam Comptroller Learman. For the record, I'm Camille Williams, Chief of Staff at Department of Natural Resources. Today, we're recognizing Arbor Day. Thank you so much. And a big thank you to our Maryland Forest Service for setting up all the prepared Eastern red buds on everyone's seats, the cards, and the potted evergreen hollies. This morning in the House and Senate chambers, we celebrated the Maryland Farm Inspector and also Maryland's outstanding farm. Last year's winner from Garrett County is actually recognized as the national winner this year, Melissa Nash. So it's been a great win for Maryland, as well as us increasing our efforts towards our 5 million trees goals. To this date, we have 1.5 million trees planted with over 86,000 in underserved communities. And we've been working a lot with our local partners, our state agencies here, and have really just been ramping it up to get to our 2031 goal.
Thank you so much.
With that, I'll move to our agenda. DNR has 9 items on the agenda today for your consideration. Myself and our team are here for any questions.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Is there any discussion on the DNR agenda?
Nope.
May I have a motion to approve the DNR agenda?
Motion to approve the DNR agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thanks so much, Ms. Williams.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next up, University System of Maryland, Mr. Hickey. Good morning.
Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller, Tom Hickey representing University System of Maryland. There are 5 items for your consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Is there any discussion on the question?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk briefly about the Towson University tax credits assessment bill. So just wanted to, when I first looked at it, I was a little concerned about how much we were paying for tax credit services. My understanding now is that it is much more than that, which is why it's eligible for CEF funding. So could you just describe, for the good of the order, what exactly this contract is for?
I will do my best, and I also have folks that are on the call to help me explain the tax benefits. But under President Biden's leadership in 2022, the Inflation Reduction Act was passed. As part of that, there are tax credits, really, to me, they sound like tax rebates that we're eligible for energy project. So this project is going to entail geothermal. So as part of that, this contract award that's, as you mentioned, is being funded through strategic energy investment funds through the Maryland Energy Administration. We'll fund this consulting contract with Deloitte, and they will do an assessment for this project for the geothermal system to determine which project costs qualify for the investment tax credit under the IRS code section 48, that was part of the Inflation Reduction Act. The work results in documented audit-ready calculations and a tax eligibility memorandum that enables Towson, and by extension, the state, to substantiate and maximize available federal tax credits tied to the project. And the preliminary estimate is approximately $9 million.
Great. Yeah, and it sounds like it's going to be even more than just simply tax credit services. That my understanding is they'll also be doing some sort of like construction drawings and things to make sure that it meets the needs. So I think makes sense. I appreciate USM taking the steps needed to ensure Maryland captures the full value of federal initiatives and incentives and saves Maryland's money on capital projects. So seems like a very solid ROI. Thank you.
To GM, can someone explain this to me just real quick, what we're doing and where 2GM, the University of Maryland College Park for Bowie State University, what this project is and the funding for, where is that coming from?
Sure. I have Rex Fitch from University of Maryland College Park Service Center, who's managing this project on behalf of Bowie on the call. It's just audio. I can talk about what this item is for while we're waiting for Rex to connect. This is a request to release funds that were previously appropriated by the General Assembly that are now available for the project. But as for the project itself, Rex.
Actually, we don't need Rex. You said this was funds that are being released. So these are taxpayer dollars.
Correct.
And they're going to build a new Communications, Arts, and Humanities building at Boise State University.
Correct.
But the funding is coming from the citizen or the residents of the state of Maryland.
Correct. MCCBL 2024 capital funds.
The only reason why I sort of bring that up, and I'm not going to make a habit of it, but just, well, I don't intend to make a habit of it. It goes back to something I said at prior meetings about the amount of money that the residents, taxpayers, citizens, you know, whatever designation we want to use that are contributing to our institutions of higher learning. But when these same taxpayers or residents want to use these facilities, they're asked to pay, in my view, exorbitant fees to use the building. Not to maybe compensate the workers, because the university shouldn't have to pay, if they need workers for the building, that the organization should, but just the flat fee to use the building when this nearly 4.7 million was already paid for by them. So, I sort of want to stress, and this has nothing to do with you, Mr. Hickey, but I sort of want to stress to the universities. And I think when these situations come up, it's easier to make the point that you're getting taxpayer dollars, right now to build these buildings, but when they just want to sit in it, just regular citizens group, when they need a larger facility for something for the betterment of the community, meaning these institutions, act as if we're coming into their private facilities or into their private homes to have meetings, when, as far as I'm concerned, these facilities are for the greater good, that the betterment for the community. You know, they don't own these buildings. The citizens do. So I kind of wanted, and when I saw, one of the universities involved because of that prior situation, I saw this as an opportunity to further buttress that point, that, and I'm hoping that it's being received how it's intended, that we need to keep the community in mind when they ask to use their own building. So that
did hear your comments at the previous meeting. I shared that with the leadership at USM, and we heard what you said clearly.
I'm sure they heard it. I just hope they receive it, because that there's a difference between hearing it, putting it in practice, and my guess is, even though through your best efforts, it's going to go in one ear out the other, and at some point I'm going to escalate it. But for now, it's just conversation. So again, none of this is directed at you. I know these weren't your decisions, but I'm hoping using this platform, this forum, that I can get the message across to all of our institutions of higher learning that they are part of this community, and as such, they have rights and responsibilities, and we all do. So thank you.
Tim Parkley, move all time.
Any other comments on the USM agenda?
No.
Motion to approve the USM agenda.
Motion to approve the USM agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thanks so much.
Very much.
Thank you. We'll proceed with the MDOT agenda. Mr. Domsky, good morning.
Morning, Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, my name is Valerie Radomsky, Chief Procurement Officer for the Maryland Department of Transportation. Today, we are presenting 11 agenda items for your consideration and withdrawing item 2E mod. We have representatives available to answer any questions you may have.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Hey, Valerie, good to see you. I have a couple questions about 7M and 8M.
We have Administrator Will Pines here with us.
Hi, Administrator Pines. Nice to see you.
Yes, good morning, Comptroller. Good morning, Governor. Good morning, Mr. Treasurer.
I know it's a busy time for you all doing a lot of your cleanup before the mowing services can come through. I just wanted to review 7 and 8. They have the exact same contract description in our papers, brush and tree cutting, stump removal, and related maintenance work. But the MBE goals are different. And when I look at the sort of backup on the PRG description, those are also slightly different to the subcontractable categories. But so I'm wondering though, like the descriptions that you give differ from the PRG descriptions that you give, I guess then differ from the actual RFP. So could you explain if the work is identical here, why it's not identical other places, and why isn't the MBE opportunity identical?
Yes, thank you for that question. So in short, while different people author the documents that are submitted to the PRG, that can lead to slight language differences, but the scope is essentially the same.
Okay.
The core difference is that through that PRG process, when the NACE codes were evaluated for the potential subcontractable opportunities, in the contract in St. Mary's County was found to have available firms for the items related to the maintenance of traffic, and particularly the protection vehicle, while in Talbot County, that was not the case. There were zero firms that fit within the NACE codes for that pay item. So that's really the core distinction, is that when we look at it from a geographical region standpoint, when we do PRG, if you read through the wider agenda, you'll see that some of the no-bid forms that we received indicated that the geographical location was a relevant consideration to bidders, and the same applies when MBEs are signing up for relevant NACE codes.
Mm-hmm. That's helpful. And do you, it does seem like things are being treated differently by district, which could result in artificially lower MBE goals, even for identical scopes. So I'm wondering then how you draw the lines for where you're looking and where the PRG is looking. Talbot is obviously on another side of a body of water than St. Mary's, but do you always adhere to your SHA districts, or if there's one that's right nearby, do you like encompass both of them to try to cast the wider net? How do you set that up?
So typically when the contracts are procured, they are on a county basis. They occasionally, if the scope of work is small for what's needed in a county, we may group a few counties together. In this particular case, they are by county, and so the scope is similar. When we look at the contract requirements themselves, require time provisions and response times for emergencies, et cetera, like tree and brush, for example. If a tree were to fall on the road, we need them to get there to help quickly. So the limits of what's included in the contract is partly based on the potential response times to that area.
That's interesting. I mean, I actually think that you could make the case that that's the wrong way to do it, because you could be in a Talbot County and be further from where the incident is than you are if you're in Dorchester County, depending on where the incident is and where the company is based or where they're working. I mean, these counties all touch each other. I mean, certainly like if you look at Garrett County and Allegheny County, if you're looking sort of at the far western end of Garrett County, if you had a company based in Allegheny County and the work was on the eastern side of Garrett County, your Allegheny County contractor or subcontractor would be much closer. So I would love to follow up and understand why we do this on a county by county basis. Like, we are just not that big of a state. And it does seem to me to artificially depress the number of MBEs that could qualify for some of these contracts. Particularly given that there still are not that many MBEs, as I have been told by MDOT, who do this work, and it's not an isolated pattern. So, like, if we look at the BPW dashboard, there's identical phrasing of brush, tree cutting, and stump removal across the districts with widely varying MBE goals. at our January 29th meeting. An item for District 5, the same district as item 7M on this agenda, had a MBE goal of 4%, which is much lower than what we see proposed here today. And I don't know how much change there's been, between January 29th and now. But I just hope that SHA will continue working to ensure that identical scopes receive more consistent MBE analyses going forward, or that you're thinking more, more creatively about the geography to make sure that we're creating opportunities. Because our MBE goals, of course, are based on the number of currently available firms that can perform the work. As you've noted in the past, and Valerie is nodding her head, either as primes or subcontractors. But there are still many small businesses that could compete for this work, but are not yet capable, are not yet able to, because of barriers like equipment costs or capital needs. And if we want MBE goals to increase over time, then we also need to ensure that the state is helping more small and minority-owned businesses scale up so they can actually enter the market and compete for this work. Would love to hear from your team what we need to do, or what other agencies, how we need to help make sure that these smaller firms can be equipped to perform this work, so that if you are going to persist in doing this county by county approach, we can make sure that we have a number of firms in every county rather than doing it regionally. Because certainly the stronger a procurement pool it becomes, the stronger MBE outcomes are and the better value for the state, frankly. I wanted to understand. I did not realize previously that it was by county, and that does seem to really, frankly, provide a sort of de facto barrier to making sure that we have enough MBE firms in every place to be able to do this work.
If I may, typically the reason that it's either by county or district basis is who administers the contract. Mm-hmm. At State Highway, there are a few counties that have exceptions. We have 28 shops statewide. Mm-hmm. Each county typically has one shop. There are a few exceptions to that rule. However, the shops themselves will administer these contracts. And a big reason for that is the individuals that live in Talbot County will call shops and request the service. So I understand your point that somebody that lives in Dorchester County might be able to pursue work on this contract if we packaged it. But the residents might be confused that I live in Dorchester. Why am I calling a Talbot County shop? And so there's efficiencies in the service to customers in the way we're packaging. I'm not aware of mapping by NACE codes that would be kind of statewide that would help us to see if there's geographical efficiencies. It's sort of to your point. We could look at that as a team and see if there are ways to package to grab pockets of counties that might help to make more firms available. But again, the primary reason we're packaging by county is for customer service based on the expectations that constituents will reach out to the shops.
Sure. I mean, I guess I understand that. To push back a little bit, we have 11 field offices around the state. I don't think that people are confused. If they live in Howard County, they don't have a Howard County Office of Taxpayer Services, and they have no problem. People go to Montgomery County to our Office of Taxpayer Services, or Baltimore City, and they're getting the same service. It's not like every county has a different area code. I'm not as familiar with that, what folks need. And I certainly want to make sure we're meeting constituents' needs, but also ensure that we're getting best value. And one of the ways we do that is by ensuring that we're creating more opportunity for all of these MBEs. So let's just follow up afterwards. Thanks.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other further questions?
Just a quick recording question. And I probably should know this, but I'm curious on 9C. It said it was awarded to David A. Bramble Incorporated, but then it says MBE 0%. Is this the same David Bramble that I'm thinking of? Or is this?
No. Okay. That's
different. All right. I was about to say, because he is an MBE. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's too big to be an MBE.
I flagged that the other day, too.
That's funny. Yep. We should let him know.
He's got a Chestertown office.
Yeah. Yep.
Motion to approve the MDOT agenda.
Is
there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. Thanks, Mr. Domsky. We will conclude with the DGS agenda. Secretary Charger, good morning.
Good morning, sir, Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, I'm a Chief Charter Secretary of the Maryland Department of General Services. Madam Comptroller, you did freak me out on that last April Fool's joke. I'm not going to lie to you because I thought we were in a good place in that project. And I said, thank you. And hand carries, as you know, are few and far. We happen to have one on our agenda today, but they're few and far between. We're presenting 101 items in our agenda today, including one hand carry for Baltimore Public Markets, who aim to support surrounding neighborhoods by boosting local entrepreneurship, improving access to fresh foods in underserved areas, and celebrating community culture through programming. The funding will replace a long broken chiller at Northeast Market and help renovate the plaza at Broadway Market, a long requested community improvement. We were drawing three items in our agenda today. Those three items are 5CGL, 9CGL, and 91RP. Our agenda does feature 72 capital grants and loans, totaling $26.7 million. I just want to highlight one in particular, and that's item 17CGL, which provides $1 million to the Board of Directors for the Center for Urban Families, which provides workforce, second-generation programs, and capacity-building support for organizations in the Baltimore area. They plan to expand their second floor through new construction, and the expansion will address space and operational challenges and adding training rooms, offices, meeting spaces, laundry facilities, and restrooms or showers. As we continue to keep an eye on our certified small businesses, we do our agenda does feature three contract actions to certified small businesses, totaling more than $1 million. And we have agency representatives here to answer any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks so much, Mr. Secretary. And I understand we have a few speaker requests for this morning. In the interest of time, we'll ask the speakers, we'll limit their comments to more than 3 minutes. And Mr. Secretary, if you could just help the service timekeeper on that. The first one we have is for item 36, which requests a reward $250,000 capital grant to Soup for the Soul Incorporated to support their dedicated space and helping Marylanders with issues of homelessness, addiction, and food insecurity. And we have Amy Matheny, who's joining us virtually to discuss this item. Ms. Matheny, can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
Great. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Outstanding. Outstanding. The floor is yours.
Okay. Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Amy Matheny, and I'm a board member of Soup for the Soul in Baltimore. We are a volunteer-driven organization that provides hot meals, a food pantry, and a clothing closet to individuals and families in our community who are struggling. Today, I'm here to express how critical this capital grant is to our mission. For years, we have served the community out of temporary and uncertain spaces. This grant allows us to secure a 15-year lease in the church where we currently operate, giving us something we've never had before, a stable, permanent place to serve those in need. That stability matters. It means our guests know where to find us. It means that we can consistently provide meals, clothes, and support without interruption. It means we can continue to build trust within a community that depends on us. Last Monday, during our Easter celebration, a man in his 30s came in for a meal. After eating, he helped an elderly couple carry boxes up the steps so they wouldn't have to struggle. He then returned inside where he was able to clean up, change into fresh clothes, and take care of basic hygiene. To many of us, those things seem small, but to him, it meant dignity. It meant being seen. It meant a moment of hope. This is what Soup for the Soul provides, not just food, but humanity. This grant ensures that we can continue to be that place, a place of consistency, compassion, and dignity, because for someone who has nowhere else to go, knowing that there's a place that will always be there can change everything. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Ms. Matheny, thank you so much, and thank you for your time this morning, and thank you for this work. It is incredibly important, and thank you for continue to serve those who need and deserve a champion. So we appreciate you.
Thank you, Governor.
Next, we have a speaker request for item 66, which is a request to award $250,000 capital grant to Habitat for Humanity of the Chesapeake for the construction of a 26-unit development in the Orchard Ridge community in Baltimore City. You know, we have here our executive director, Mike Bosco, who is here to speak in support. Mike, great to see you.
Yeah.
Good to work.
Thank you, Governor Moore, Comptroller Learman, and Treasurer Davis. As you are well aware of that project, But I will quickly tell you about Habitat for Humanity of the Chesapeake. We cover Central Maryland. We're a nonprofit organization focused on affordable housing. We cover Baltimore County, Anne Arundel County, Howard County, and Baltimore City. As Secretary Day pointed out, affordable housing is not just critical in the state of Maryland, but throughout the country. This particular project is 27 new homes. We focus on homeowners that are between 30 and 80% area medium income. They do get a mortgage, it's zero equivalent mortgage, and we make sure that those homeowners are only paying 30% of their income towards that mortgage, which makes it affordable for them. So I want to thank you again for the opportunity to stand up here, and I can answer any questions.
Thanks.
Thank you. No questions, just appreciation, Mike. Thank you. Thank you. Next, I'd like to highlight item 67, which is a request to award $1.5 million capital grant to Wicomico County to expand the hangar capacity at the Salisbury Regional Airport. For those who don't know, the Salisbury Regional Airport is Maryland's second largest airport. It's a gateway to the Eastern Shore, but it also supports over 1,400 jobs, generates over $80 million in business and revenue every single year. And today's grant will support the creation of the aviation maintenance technician and the flight training school at the airport, including the planning and design of a new aircraft hangar, a new classroom, and a new office space. You know, I have had a chance on a few different occasions to go out there and see the outstanding work that you all are doing, kind of executive, and we're incredibly excited to have you here in person and to hear from you. But County Executive Julie Giordano signed up to support the project. Yes. It's wonderful to have you here, ma'am.
Yes, thank you. And, you know, for allowing me to speak. You literally said all my notes, so good. No, you know, thank you for saying that. And I do want to say thank you to you specifically and to Madam Comptroller for your visits to our airport. I will tell you, everybody should fly out of there. We have no lines at TSA. So come on down to us. Our revenue is $78 million. We have created 1,425 jobs. And it is the home of our new aviation mechanic school. So we are operating right now in a Piedmont hangar. So this $1.5 million will actually be for the hangar specifically. So we will be able to backfill the Piedmont hangar with more jobs. We have 13 graduates this year. We already have 20 signed up for next year. I would like to invite you all to the graduation of the first class. So we would love to have you. And I will tell you all a funny story just because it is April Fool's, but this really did happen. The first time I was telling Governor Moore about this, they told me, you get 5 minutes. This is Molly Byron. Love her. Said, you have 5 minutes, but he's going to meet you on the Ocean City boardwalk. And I said, okay. So I go down there and I'm in heels because I didn't dress for the Ocean City boardwalk. And I thought I was going to speak to him beforehand, but no. We went on a trip. We got Thrasher's fries. We're playing skee ball. We're doing all of these things. And so I'm running to keep up with him. He hikes. I don't. And I'm running to keep up with him. But as I was telling him this, we sat for just a few minutes on a bench in Ocean City. And I told him, I said, I have this vision and I want you to believe in us and believe in this. And he did. And so I am grateful for you. We've done it. They have graduated. And I will tell you, this aviation mechanics school is unlike anything else. It is unparalleled to anything in the country. We have support and partnerships with UMES. We have it with the state of Maryland. We have it with the county and with Piedmont Airlines. So these individuals will graduate within 12 months. So we have a 12-month, very rigorous program. And we are pumping out aviation mechanics with their A&P license. Piedmont has already said they will hire the first 75. But we have the private sector and a couple other airlines knocking on our door. So again, thank you for believing in our airport and this program. And I appreciate you. Mr. Treasurer, that's an open invitation to you, sir, to come down and visit.
You want
to
go get those fries?
Yes.
I ain't walking with you with the governor.
I had to run. So anyway, but anyway, thank you all for having us here. And we really appreciate you.
It's amazing. It is. The school is amazing. Congratulations on your work and keep at it.
Thank you. Yes.
We're thankful, Madam County Executive. We believe in the work they're doing there and we believe in you.
Thank you.
Well done. Great work in the shore and beyond.
So I look for the invitation for the first graduating class.
Looking forward to it.
I would be remiss to not introduce our lobbyist, Mr. Barrett.
Son of the moon.
Yeah.
A lawyer now. Good morning. Just for the record, Bruce Barrett. I'm here on behalf of the County Executive of Wicomico County.
County Executive has said it all. I just want to reiterate, you all got a packet of material so you can see in reality, it's incredible what is going on there. And the work with UMAS is just incredible. I mean, you talk about jobs and opportunities and futures for young people. It's all of that and that much more. Recently, your administrator, Shanita Griffin, came down and a fabulous tour, spent several hours and really saw in reality the growth and development. There's a lot of land there that is ready to grow and develop, more hangars, more runways, expanding the runways. So it's really economic development, which I know you, Governor, and the members of the board really want. So want to fly to Florida, you can leave from this airport. Thank you very much.
That's right. Or arrive from Florida to come to Maryland.
That's right.
Yes.
Thank you very
and then we'll go down to get pressures.
There we go. There we go.
Thank you.
Thank you for staying. I'm County Executive.
Thank
you. Lastly, I'd like to highlight item 50, which is a request to reward $450,000 capital grant to Baltimore County for the renovations of the Randallstown Baltimore County Library. We want to highlight this one because this is one of the most utilized libraries in the entire state. It serves a local community of 49,000 residents and welcomes over 100,000 visitors every single year. And this grant is going to support the design and the construction of a new joint facility for the library and the Department of Recreation and Parks. It is going to include public meeting rooms, study rooms, collaborative spaces, meeting spaces, pickleball, basketball, soccer, and a whole bunch of other activities. I also want to highlight it because this has been a core priority for a very special friend. And because this has been a core priority for a long period of time from our former House Speaker, Delegate Adrienne Jones, who she was absolutely instrumental in spearheading this project. And it really is because of her dedication and also to her district that the Randallstown Library is going to be able to build this this new 21st century facility. So we are excited to see the impact that this is going to have on Randallstown, on Baltimore County, and how that is going to impact people all throughout the county and the state. With that, is there any further discussion on the DGS agenda? May I have a motion to approve the DGS agenda?
Motion to approve the DGS agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, everybody. This concludes today's meeting, and the next meeting will be on April 22nd. Thank you for all you do, and we are adjourned.